The question today is, what is God like? We've looked at this, and by the way, this is the fifth part of this particular answer, and it's very exhaustive because there's no way of putting it in just one broadcast of what God's like. In fact, I can't even do justice about what God's like. But I do know that if we'll look at the names of God and see they reveal His character and His person and how He operates, because the Hebrew culture, even the names of the people, showed their character, those that were named such. And so we've looked at Elohim, who is God, who is plural name for God, which reveals the Trinity of God, but it also tells us in fact that He's a strong one. Then the other names all really point to, as far as translating God, point to Elohim, the strong one. But then we looked at the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, who is Jehovah, who is the one who wants to reveal Himself to the world, to mankind, the fallen mankind. So we've looked at that, and we know that He did reveal Himself to Moses at the backside of the desert when he was 80 years old in the burning bush as Jehovah, the one. And it's a redemptive aspect of God because He wanted to redeem His people from Israel. And so He revealed Himself as the Lord, Jehovah. And yet we know that Moses said, "Who is it that I tell them sent me, that I can tell the people?" And he said, "Tell them I am have sent you." Now, we know as we think about the I am and Jehovah and the Lord and God, Elohim, who does that sound like? Well, we said last time that that sounds like the one that John met on the Isle of Patmos when he saw him there. And as the Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that Jesus Himself told the Jews that He was, the Pharisees, that He was the I Am. And they got angry and wanted to stone Him. They took up stones to kill Him because they realized He was identifying Himself with the I Am, that I Am, who met Moses at the backside of the desert in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. So we see Jehovah, the Lord. That's the Hebrew word, but there's also the word Lord of the New Testament, which is just a capital L, but a little O and R and a D. But that's Kyrios, which is used about 640 times with reference to God. It means the word Lord in the New Testament means supreme in authority, and you put all the Jehovah, the Lord, the I Am together with the Lord of the New Testament, and you have the eternal, ever-present, self-existent, absolute, unchanging one who wants to reveal Himself to man. And in other words, he hates sin, but He loves the sinner, we've talked about. In other words, as Elohim, He said that I'm able, but as Jehovah, He said, I'll do it. I'll do that. Now, He's the ever-present to save, to help, to deliver, to redeem, to bless, and to keep. He doesn't sleep. How can you say, well, how in the world can He do that if He's at the right hand of the Father? Well, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 16, as Jesus was there in the upper room, and by the way, Judas Iscariot had already gone out to betray Him, and he was telling the disciples some things in the upper room, and also they left the upper room and headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, and He began to instruct them in John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. But in John 14, 16, He said, I'll pray, or I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another comforter. That word another is another of the same kind that I am. The word comforter means one alongside to aid. And then He said in verse 16, that He may abide with you forever. And He identifies this comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And that happened on the day of Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit came inside. So He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. He came unto us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, realizing Elohim is a plural name, in the beginning God, Genesis 1:1, plural name, which signifies the Trinity, the triune being, the unity of God. And so they all three were present in redemption of this earth, and all three were present in redemption of mankind. So then we see that He's the Lord. He's the Lord, in other words. And He said, I'm come. And He's not talking about the second coming here in John chapter 14. He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you, the Holy Spirit, and also says that Christ is in you, the hope of glory that He's talking about. So I can't explain that, but He said Christ lives in you. God lives in you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the name Jesus, what does it mean? as far as Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, when Joseph was deciding, the angel spoke to Joseph as he thought Mary was expecting child. She'd been unfaithful to him, and he was wanting to put her away privately. Didn't want to cause any shame to her, but yet the angel told him, "And all that which is in her is of the Holy Ghost." It's a holy child. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In other words, Jesus, in essence, the name means he'll save his people from his sins. Now, God named him. God named him, thus meaning as being the one who wants to save his people from their sins. He met the redemptive aspect of Jehovah. You see, he is incarnate. He is God incarnate. That's what incarnation means, that God robed himself in flesh. And he's the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and that's satisfied a holy Father, if you please, a holy God. And that's the only way that anyone can ever get to God is by the sacrifice, if you please. And so, therefore, he was God. He was born God, and he died on the cross as God. Now, the Gnostics say, and the Gnosticism teaches, that Jesus became God when the Spirit of God came upon him after he was baptized, and the Spirit of God left him on the cross, and he died as mere man. I want to tell you, he was as much God in the babe in the manger as he was as God sitting at the right and on the throne of God. He's God. He said he was. He's the I Am. He's Jehovah. He's the Lord. And so as a result, but he also says, as the angel spoke to Joseph in Matthew 1:23, says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And Jesus is actually God with us. And so God with us through the virgin's womb is how we have. Now, who is he? He's the I Am. He's the sacrifice on Calvary. He's the Lord. He's Jehovah. He's Kyrios. It's of great significance that the term Kyrios is freely applied to Jesus Christ, identifying him with Jehovah and declaring his deity, if you please. And so Jesus is the Lord. He's Jehovah. And one day the Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They're going to confess one day. Every person somehow will bow down one day. Even those that reject the light they've been given today, they reject the gospel, they reject the truth today, but they'll stand one day before the great white throne judgment, and some way they'll bow down and they'll confess Jesus as Jehovah. See, a lot of people going around knocking on doors today and they're talking about Jehovah, but they're not talking about the Lord Jesus. They deny him. Folks, the only way you'll ever see God is through Jesus Christ. Moses hid in the cleft of the rock, which was the name for God, the rock. And that's the only way you'll ever see God, is to be in Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, many talk about Jehovah. And they call themselves Jehovah's Witness, but they reject Jesus as being Jehovah. While the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is Jehovah of the Old Testament, if men won't bow to the Lord Jesus in this life and confess that he's their Lord, their Jehovah, he'll die in his sins and he'll go to a literal burning hell to come forth one day and bow before the Lord Jesus and confess he is Jehovah. Somehow they'll get on their knees and they'll do that. Now, I know the Bible said, Philippians chapter 2, that men should bow. That's the word in the English Bible, but it says in Romans chapter 14, that men shall bow. They will bow. But then it will be too late, because he'll be cast in the lake of fire forever if his name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So now you've got to bow to Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's what amazes me, how many people today do not believe that Jesus has to be your Lord for you to be saved. He's got to be your Lord. He's got to be your Jehovah. He's got to be your I Am, if you please. You may not understand all the terms that I'm dealing with, but you've got to receive him as your supreme sacrifice, and he is the Lord Jehovah, if you please. The I Am, Jesus, the eternal, ever-present, self-existent, absolute, unchanging one who reveals himself to man, and he's reaching out to man, hating sin, but loving the sinner. Now, to know that God is Jehovah and to know the name Jehovah does not denote a mere external acquaintance with the word Jehovah, but it's talking about an experience of God manifesting Himself to His people in grace and love. And you know what? That has to be, that has to, and by the way, that happened to Moses back at the backside of the desert. And He wants to reveal Himself to you. And if you'll stop and turn aside, you see, so Moses stopped long enough to turn aside and see that burning bush that was not consumed. Something's different. I want to tell you, when the Lord speaks to you, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you through His Word, makes it real to you through His man of God, as He makes that Word real, you need to take time in this hustle-bustle world to stop and turn aside and listen to what the Lord is saying. And you've got to have Him as Lord at the point of salvation. Many people today say, well, I'm saved, but I took Him as Savior, but down the road somewhere I'll take Him as Lord. And they'll deny and fight Lordship salvation. Folks, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ must be Lord of your life at the point of salvation. And that's not just the words you say, Lord, save me. That's not enough. It's got to be a mere experience of the Jehovah, of the Lord, of the I Am, the self-existent One, coming inside you in the person of the Holy Spirit of God and taking up His abode. As He, through a sanctifying work of Holy Ghost conviction, brings you to that place that you might be saved. You see, He convicts you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. John chapter 16, verse 8, 9, 10, and 11 says, and many people today have never had that completed work of Holy Ghost conviction done. They'll convince you that Jesus is Jehovah, that He is the Lord of the Old Testament and Lord of the New Testament, and must be your Lord. In fact, He said in Romans 10, 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of who? The Lord. The Lord. Not Savior. Not Jesus as man, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 12, 3, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, there must be a completed work. This thing of just embracing a name or a word only is not enough. So, therefore, what's God like? We mistake a lot of time. We've got a wrong concept. I'll tell you what He's like, what His names reveal. The primary names is God, Elohim, the strong One who can redeem fallen man. And then also the Lord who wants to reveal Himself to fallen man and do a work in your heart because of the supreme sacrifice that He made for you on the cross of Calvary. So I pray that your knee will bow to the work of God in your heart, and you'll come to the place that you'll receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, as your Jehovah, before it's everlastingly too late, that you might be saved and escape the burning hell and go to heaven with Him forevermore. But it'll be for His glory that He'll do that. If He saves you, it'll be for His glory. Who? Jehovah. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.